We are up to Torah Reish Lamed Dalid. Okay, we dedicate the shir today, Le'iloi Nishmas Soraleya Bas Reb Lieber, the mother, Zichron Avrocha, of a very close friend, Peretz Rubel, whose yahrzeit is today. Torah Reish Lamed Dalid, chapter 234. Rabbein Azal says, Da, you should know, Shesipuri Maisios mit Tzadikim, telling stories of Tzadikim, of righteous people, Hainu Mima She'ir Alehem, what happened to these tzaddikim, telling stories about their lives, how they lived, and different episodes that they went through, hudovar godol ma'oid, is something that's very significant. Vayidezeh nitar machshavtoi. And by a person telling over these stories, this will purify the person's mind. It'll clean the person's mind from bad thoughts, harmful, sinful thoughts. Avol yefshel saper maisis shel tzadikim ki im mi sheyochol lehidamo isatzmoi laHashem isborach. However, it is impossible for a person to tell over stories of tzadikim properly unless the person can emulate Hashem. What do we mean, emulate Hashem? Dahainu sheyochol lahavdil bein oyer v'choyshech k'moy Hashem isborach kaviyochol. Meaning that the person has the ability to separate between light and darkness, to distinguish and differentiate between light and darkness, just as Hashem did when he first created the world. It says, Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or v'ein ha'choshech. Hashem made a separation between light and darkness. Why? How does that relate to what we're saying? Ki keneged kol ma'aseh shel tzadik yesh kenegdo ra. Because corresponding to each and every story of a tzaddik, there is a parallel story in evil. Dahainu, sheyesh kenegdoi maisiyos shel rishoim. Corresponding to the stories of tzaddikim, there are stories of evil, wicked people that make them look great and important and significant. Shegam lohem eira kiyotze bozeh, where similar things to what happened to the tzaddikim happened to the Rishoim sometimes. And Rabbeinu Zal gives us an example here. Kegoin shemotzinu shepinchos osa dovor godoil sheporach boavir. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, and the Targum Yoinasin ben Uziel on the Chumash actually mentions this, that when Bilam gave Balak the advice as to how to bring about the downfall of the Jewish people, by using the Midianite women to seduce the Jews, this caused major damage to the Jewish nation. And Pinchas became aware of this, and Pinchas wanted to go after Bilam to kill him. So Bilam knew names of Hashem that could be used in tumah, in impurity, to perform miracles. Bilam actually flew to escape Pinchas. The Targum Yonis and Ben Uziel and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that Pinchas used a name of Hashem in holiness to chase after Bilam and to kill him. So just as Pinchas did a great thing of flying through the air, u'keneged zeh yesh ma'aseh shel rasha. Corresponding to that, parallel to that, we have the story of the rasha, shegam Bilam porach bo'avir. Bilam was also able to do this. We find, if you recall also, when Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen went to Egypt, went before Paroi, and they performed miracles, turning the water into blood and other miracles, and Paroi's magicians were able to duplicate most of these things. V'chein kiyotze b'zeh, and other similar instances. Ki hora l'umas hatoiv, because evil mirrors good. V'hahefresh, however, the difference between good and evil, between light and darkness, hu rak mi sheyochol lahavdil bein oyer v'choshech, is only a person who knows how to distinguish and differentiate between light and darkness, ze yoydea goydel hahevdel v'hahefresh shebein ma'aseh shel tzadikim l'ma'aseh shel rishoim. That person will know and understand the extent of the difference between the stories of what tzaddikim did, the miracles that tzaddikim performed or that were performed for them, versus the stories of these Rishonim, these wicked people. Kizeh, because the miracles that are performed by tzaddikim or on their behalf, misitra dikdusha, come from the side of holiness, al yedei tfilosoi, through the prayer of the tzaddik. Kamayshakosav Be'elisha, as it says clearly in the Navi Malachim, when it speaks about the miracles that Elisha Navi performed, it says there, Sapro noli hagedoilois, tell me the great things which Elisha Navi performed. And the Gemara in Brachas says about it, the Elisha Da'ovid berachmihu David. All the miracles that Elisha performed, he performed through tefillah. If you look in the Navi there, where it tells the story of him bringing a child back to life, it says clearly there, Vayispalel el Hashem, that first he prayed to Hashem, then he prostrated himself on the child and he blew into him, etc., the whole procedure that he did. But always preceded by tefillah, Elisha Navi, Eliyahu Navi, all the great tzaddikim. Avol Ma'aseh Shel Rishoim, whereas the stories of Rishoim, where they perform miracles sometimes, Heim Al Yedei Tachbulois Oy Kishuf, their miracles come through different types of machinations or magic, using the power of magic, Oy Dovar Achra Mi Sitra Achra, or other powers that are found in the Sitra Achra, in the other side, the side of impurity. So we conclude, therefore, She'ikar ha'hefrish yoidea rak ze she'yoidea lahavdil ben or l'choshech ben ra l'toiv. The only one who really is qualified to tell stories of tzaddikim, because the person knows the difference, they understand the difference between the tzaddikim versus the rishonim, is a person who knows to distinguish between light and darkness, between good and evil. And we know that that's not so simple. The world, from the time that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was toi vora, good and bad mixed together, that created a situation that we struggle with. Our bechira, our free choice, is based on the fact that it's difficult to differentiate sometimes and recognize what's really good and what's really bad. And the Satan, the Yetzirah, the Sitra Achra, very often has the power to make something bad look good and vice versa. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in the first chapter in Likut Imran, where he says that the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, when he proposes to a person to follow him, he dresses it up in mitzvahs very often. He makes it appear as if the sin, the wrong thing that he's trying to get a person to do, is really a mitzvah, it's really a good deed. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, V'gam, and in addition, mi she'ein lo izeh hadas lahavdil, even a person who doesn't have this level of knowledge to really be able to differentiate between light and darkness, good and bad, avol yesh lo emuna shlema, but the person has complete faith. What does that mean? How do we define complete faith? Shemamin hahevdol sheyesh beinayim. That the person believes that there is a major difference between light and darkness, between good and bad. Gamze yochoy lesaper maisei shel tzadikim. That person also is qualified to tell stories of tzadikim. Avol, however, Tzorech shetiyo ho emuna, emuna shlema berura ma'oid. The level of faith that we're talking about here is where the faith is a very complete and clear faith. Ad shal yidei hu emuna, yedoy meloi ki'ilu roye hadovor shema min boinayim mamish. To the point where this person's faith is so strong, they believe so strongly in Hashem, in the Torah, in tzaddikim, that it's exactly as if they would see Hashem, and if they would see the truth. Bechinas sosim vegalia kamuva b'makamacher. A concept of something that's hidden and revealed, as is discussed in another chapter on Likut Imran. This is actually in chapter 62, in the first half of Likut Imran. There, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, where it speaks about the topic of Emunah, and it uses this term, sosim v'galya, hidden and revealed. What do you mean? The answer is that faith can only be, the term faith can only be applied to something that you can't see or you can't fully understand. And yet to a person who really believes, their faith sometimes is equal to and even surpasses someone who sees something. You get a person who looks outside and it says, wow, it looks like it's daytime now. It looks like it's 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. And then somebody goes over to the window shade and pulls it and they see it's actually an artist drawing. An artist drew the sun and the sky to make it look exactly as if it were daylight outside when really it's in the middle of the night. Or vice versa, the exact opposite. So we know that seeing is not always believing. Sometimes a person sees things and they don't believe it to be accurate, that what they're seeing is really accurate. Whereas the level of faith that Rabbi Nizal is talking about here is a person whose faith is so strong that it's as if they see it, or even more, that's how definite it is in their mind. And this is why the Medrash Rabbah tells us in Bereishis, on the Pasuk, Lahavdil bein ho'or uvein achoshech, to separate between light and darkness, the Medrash says, Oyer elu maseim shel tzadikim. Light refers to stories of tzadikim. Choshech, darkness, elu maseim shel rishoim. That refers to stories of evil, wicked people. Hainu, this means, Shemaisiyot shel tzadikim heim b'chinas oyer. The stories of tzadikim, of the great things that they did, the miracles they performed, that's light. Ulehepech, and the opposite, Maisios shel rishoim. Sometimes when we hear that evil, wicked people did things that seemed to be great, heim b'chinas choshech, that's really darkness. Umi sheyochoi lahavdil benor lechoshech, a person who really knows how to differentiate between light and darkness, yochoi lesaper maisios shel tzadikim. That person is allowed to and able to tell stories of tzadikim, and by telling those stories, that will cause the person's mind to be purified. Gam, Rabbi Nizal tells us another incredible benefit from telling stories of tzadikim. Gam nitzol mitzorois. The person is also saved from misfortune, problems, crisis. And Rabbi Nizal explains how this works. Ki bilbul hadas, when a person's mind is in a state of confusion, that's called, in Sifrei Kabbalah, that's called moichin de katnus, constricted consciousness. Umize boin tzorois. And this actually brings upon the person suffering and problems. When a person is in this state of constricted consciousness, when they're not thinking clearly, ki moichin de katnus heim bechinas dinin. Because constricted consciousness is associated with judgment, punishment, harshness. V'sipuri maisei shel tzadikim, whereas stories of tzadikim hein bechinas moichin degadlus. That represents expanded consciousness. What the Sifrei Kabbalah refer to as moichin degadlus, great, great minds. K'mo shekosuv, as we mentioned the pasuk earlier, when it speaks about the miracles that were performed by Elisha Novi, it says, "Sapru noli es hagedoylois she'osu Elisha." Tell me the gedoylois which Elisha performed. So we see that miracle is called godoil. Miracles performed by tzadikim are called godoil, bechinas hamor hagodoil, referring to the great light, the great light. Hashem, the Torah, and tzaddikim are referred to as Moir HaGodol, this great light. And stories of tzaddikim represent this gadlus, this Moichin de gadlus, which gives clarity to a person's mind, and thereby helps eliminate, chas v'shon, trouble, misfortune. Vayidezeh metahir machshavtoi mimachshova isroes. And through this, the person purifies their mind from wrong thoughts, evil thoughts, which come from small-mindedness, constricted consciousness. And through this, a person sweetens and eliminates suffering and judgments, shekulam hei mebechinas moichin dekatnus, which all are associated with constricted consciousness. We've mentioned this in the past. There's a statement in the Zohar HaKadosh where the Zohar HaKadosh says, kulhu b'machshova isbariru. Everything gets refined and corrected in machshova, in thought. So here again, things that purify a person's thought, things that clarify a person's mind, that expand a person's consciousness, those things bring about birurim, refinement, elimination of negativity, elimination of din, and leave the person with chasod and with chesed. This is one of the etzos that Rabbeinu Zal gives to achieve hamtoka sadinim, telling stories of tzaddikim. And Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in another chapter in Likut Imran, in chapter 29, Torah Choftes. There Rabbeinu Zal speaks about tikkun hakloli, general rectification. And he speaks about the tikkun hakloli of dibur, the tikkun hakloli of speech, and he says that's stories of tzaddikim. And there is a story associated with that chapter in Likut Imran, that a student of Rabbi Nachman came to him and told him that he was having a major, major problem, that he was in trouble with a bunch of non-Jewish businessmen, and they were going to be having a session in court, and he was very concerned that he should be able to find favor in the eyes of these people who are angry at him right now, and they want him judged, they want him punished, etc., and in the eyes of the court. And Rabbeinu Zal gave that shir on Likut Imran Torah Choftes, where he speaks about stories of tzaddikim. And Rabbeinu Zal said to his student, I said a Torah, I told you what the solution is. And this student, after Shabbos, had to travel to go to the place where this court meeting was going to take place. And throughout the whole trip, he was telling over stories, the people he was with, he was telling over stories of tzaddikim, stories about Rabbi Nachman. And sure enough, when he arrived at the place, and he met with these people who were previously very angry at him, things turned around completely. He found favor in their eyes. The judgment was eliminated completely.
Just reading the stories of tzaddikim. So if you read it in a book versus listening.
I believe that's also effective. But again, reminder that when we read Torah, we don't read with our eyes. We read with our mouth. There's a famous Gemara that Rabbi Nachman quotes in several times. The Gemara in Eruvin, where the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ki chayim heim lemoitziehem. The Torah gives life to those who give it forth. And the Gemara says, Lemoitziehem bepeh. You must speak the words of Torah. Extremely important. So reading with the eyes is a much weaker level than when a person actually says the words. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, Gam tzorich leida eich lesaper hamaisa. It's also very important for a person to know how to tell the story correctly. Ki bechol maise yesh tzimtzum. Because in each and every story, there's a constriction. There are times when people are telling over stories and they're careful, depending on who they're telling the story to, not necessarily to fill in every detail. Because sometimes a particular detail about a story can be harmful to one individual or can have a negative effect on that individual. Whereas to someone else, that detail wouldn't harm them in any way. So there's a concept of a tzimtzum in telling over a story, knowing to limit what one says, what one doesn't say. We find in the Gemara, speaks about one of the rabbis who was telling his teaching his students about stealing different things. And at one point he said, we're going to stop here. I don't want to say anything more because I'm afraid if I'll explain more to you, you'll become thieves, you'll become burglars, etc. And we know that in some of the stories that Rabbeinu Zal told, he said, you think I'm going to tell you everything about it? And he didn't. You know, he chose selectively what to say. We're not talking about lying. We're not talking about changing the details in the story at this point. We're talking about constriction. V'gam kisharoitze letaher machshavto yaidei sipur ha-maisa shel ha-tzadik. And in addition, when a person wants to purify their mind by telling over a story of a tzaddik, nimtzo shenase etzloi mehamaisa o mehasipur shehu dibur nase etzloi machshavo. What's taking place is the words that this person is speaking, he's speaking, telling over a story, And those words are affecting his thoughts. We said purifying his thoughts. Ubevadai tzorich sheyie zeh hatzadik shemesaper mimenu govoya mimenu. The tzaddik about whom he's telling over this story has to certainly be on a higher level than the one who's telling this story. Kedei sheyie maisia shel oisai tzaddik bebechinas machshove etzloi. So that the story about that particular tzaddik should be on the level of thought by the one who's telling it over. Because we know, the Zohar HaKadosh speaks a lot about this, that everything in this world, in order for anything to happen, it goes through three phases. Thought, then speech, then action. The first stage is thought, machshava, then comes dibur, then comes maisa. The highest level spiritually is machshava, below that is dibur, and below that is action on a spiritual level. So now, if we're saying that we want to take words of a story that we're telling, and those words should affect my thought process, should purify my mind, those words have to be on a high enough level. The tzaddik that I'm telling about has to be on a great enough level where, because he's so much above me, telling a story about him, that itself is a level of machshava for me, compared to dibur, in a sense. Al kein, therefore, tzorich leida mimi lesaper ve'ech lesaper. A person needs to know about whom to tell stories and how to tell over a story. There's a sefer, a Breslov sefer, called Koichvei Oyer, Stars of Light. And this sefer was organized by a student of Rav Nosson Zal, actually the son of one of the closest students to Rav Nosson Zal. He's known as Reb Avraham b'Reb Nachman. Reb Avraham b'Reb Nachman Tulchiner. Reb Nachman Tulchiner was one of the closest students of Rav Nosson Zal, who spent the most time with Rav Nosson Zal, serving him and being around him, and therefore absorbed a tremendous amount of knowledge and also the traditions of Breslov, the customs, the traditions, the stories. And his son, Reb Avraham b'Reb Nachman, heard a tremendous amount from his father, Reb Nachman Tulchiner, and also from other students of Reb Nosson Zal who were reliable sources, trustworthy. And Reb Avraham b'Reb Nachman put together a compilation. The Sefer Koich Ve'or is about 5 Sforim in one. And a few of those Sforim are stories about Rabbi Nachman's students, about Rabbi Nachman, about his students, about Rav Nosson Zal, and about some of his students. There's a section called Anshei Moharan, there's a section called Avoneho Barzel, different sections which are stories. And this Reb Avraham b'Reb Nachman writes in the introduction that unfortunately there are many Sforim that were written, stories of Tzadikim, where we're not sure if these stories were said after the 3rd cup or 4th cup, and not necessarily grape juice. We're talking vodka. We're talking serious alcohol. And therefore, unfortunately, not all of those stories are reliable. The stories that appear in the Shvochei HaBal Shem Toiv that were documented by one of his closest students, and certain other stories we know are authentic. And Rabbi Avraham b'Reb Nachman, in the introduction to his Sefer, writes that he left out many stories which he wasn't positive about the accuracy, and every story that he does mention, he says clearly who he heard it from, to try to be as clear as possible regarding the accuracy of the stories that he's telling. And Rabbi Nizal continues, Vazai, and if the one who's telling the story is doing it properly, the way we described here, Vazai nitar machshavtoi, then his mind becomes purified through this, v'yochoi lalois el oilam hamachshova, and the person has the ability to rise up to the world of thought. Sheze nikra aliyas ha'olamos. This is what's referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah sometimes as the concept of elevating worlds, where the worlds are being elevated, or a person is being elevated and traveling through the different worlds, going from Asiya to Yetzira to Bria, etc. Ki hamachshava govoya moed, because thought is a very high level. Umi sheroitze likoneis el oilam hamachshava, and a person who wants to enter into the level called thought, the world of thought, tzorich lishtoik, has to be silent. They can't speak. They have to shut the mouth in order to concentrate on thought. Vafilu im yedaber oz dibur hogun. Even if the person will speak proper words at that time when they're trying to get into the olam hamachshava, hu mafsid hamachshava, the person will lose the connection to the thought. Ki hamachshava hu dovor gavoya moid, because thought is a very high level. Shafilu dibur hogun mafsida, where even good proper words can cause the thought to be lost or nullified. Veze bechinas, this will explain an expression that's used in the Gemara. When the Gemara speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to heaven, and he saw Rabbi Akiva, and he saw him expounding on the crowns, on the letters of the words, Moshe Rabbeinu said, why don't you give the Torah through him? He's such a great tzaddik. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, can I see what the reward is for such a great tzaddik? And he was shown a picture of Rabbi Akiva's flesh being torn from his body by iron combs that the Romans used to torture him. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zu Torah v'zu schara? This is Torah, this is the reward for Torah? And Hashem's response was, Shtoik, be silent, kach ola b'machshava. This is the way it has arisen in thought. These words are a little bit strange, and there are many interpretations of what these words mean. Rabbi Nosson Zal expounds on this in Likutei Halachos, but in this particular chapter where we're learning right now, Rabbi Nosson says, look at what it says. Be silent. This is how you rise up to Machshava. Shelalo Yisrael Machshava Tzorich Lishtoik. In order to go up to the level of Machshava, person has to be silent. And even if the person is silent and they don't speak at all, im kolze yesh bilbulim shemavalvul in amachshava umaynasa, there's confusion. There are things that confuse the person's brain and prevent the person, distract the person, and don't allow the person to focus correctly in order to have the full benefit of the thought. Valze tzorich taharas hamachshava, and this requires purifying the thoughts, purifying one's brain. Vezeh al yedei sipurei ma'asiyos kanal, and this is accomplished by telling stories of tzaddikim properly. Now Rabbi Nosson goes back to clarify a little bit something he mentioned earlier. In the beginning of this Torah, he said that one of the requirements for being able to tell stories of tzaddikim is that the person telling it has to have the ability to emulate Hashem in being able to differentiate between light and darkness. How does one get to such a level? Rabbi Nosson says now, paragraph Gimel, v'lizkois lozeh, for a person to merit, being sheyuchal lehidamois elov yisporach, to be able to emulate Hashem, lahavdil ben or v'choshech, to really be able to differentiate between light and darkness, hu'al yedei hashgacha. The way that one achieves that is by the direct supervision of Hashem, by divine providence. Hainu, sheyetze mitivius. This means the person has to be able to take themselves out of nature, what we call Mother Nature, and the natural scheme of things, and elevate themselves to a level where they're not bound by nature at all. They're above nature. They're under the direct supervision of Hashem, which can affect miracles, which can supersede nature. Shezeh bechinas klolius hakedusha. This represents the totality of holiness. This concept of hashgacha, when a person goes above teva, above nature, and they're not controlled by nature in any way, they're under the direct supervision of Hashem, this represents the klolius of kedusha. Vezeh zoichin al yedei Eretz Yisrael. And a Jew can get to this through Eretz Yisrael. Ki Eretz Yisrael hu klolius hakedusha shebechol hakedushois. Because Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate. It is the totality, the sum total of all aspects of holiness. Kishom kol ho eser kedushos. Because all 10 levels of holiness are found in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, I believe it's chapter 6 in Masechet Kelim, the first Mishnah, which begins by saying there are 10 levels of holiness in the world. Level 1 is Eretz Yisrael, which means the rest of the world is outside of the Kedusha. It's called Chutz Loretz, outside. And then in Eretz Yisrael, the next level is Yerushalayim, and the next level, so on and so forth, 10 different levels. And all of them are inside of Eretz Yisrael. V'alkein ne'emar b'Eretz Yisrael, this is why when the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael, it says, Tomid einei Hashem alokecha bo. The eyes of Hashem are constantly focused on Eretz Yisrael. Kishom hu rak hashgacha. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there is no nature. In Eretz Yisrael, it's all the direct supervision of Hashem. It's all one big miracle. Bechinas, as we find a pasuk in Chumash Dvorim, where the pasuk says, Hashkifo mimoin kotchecho. Hashem, look down upon us from your holy abode, from your holy domain. So note, kotchecho, we're speaking about holiness. Hashem sending down this holiness, how? Through Hashkifa, through looking, through this direct look of Hashem, this very serious, concentrated supervision of Hashem. V'zeh, this is also the pasuk in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi somid. I place Hashem in front of me constantly, all the time. Hainu, Kishani roitze lahashvois uledamois atzmi l'Hashem Yisborach. The word shivisi means to place. The word shove in Hebrew also means equal. When I want to be equal to Hashem, when I want to imitate Hashem, hainu kishani roitze lahashvois uledamois atzmi l'Hashem Yisborach. When I want to emulate Hashem, azai lenegdi somid. Then Hashem is in front of me constantly. Hainu b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. That means I'm attached to, I connect myself to Eretz Yisrael. Kamei shekosu b'medrash, as it says in the medrash, ein tamid el Eretz Yisrael. That the word tamid represents Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, tamid einei Hashem alokecha bo. That the eyes of Hashem are constantly, always focused on Eretz Yisrael. Now this especially includes people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, or they find that, or visiting Eretz Yisrael. But we know even those people who are physically outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah tells us that when it comes to tefillah, especially the most important tefillah, Shmon Esrei, there's a pasuk, V'hispalalu eilecho derech artzon. They pray to you via their land, via Eretz Yisrael. Jews all over the world, when we're davening, the most important tefillah Shmon Esrei, we must face Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Rabbi Nachman in chapter 7 in Likut Imran puts these things together. Eretz Yisrael, tefillah, miracles. They are one. They are one. So in order for a person to be above nature, to be connected to miracle, they must be connected to Eretz Yisrael, they must be connected to tefillah. Now Rabbeinu Zal continues, paragraph Dalid. Veda, and you should know, sheyesh shem, there is a name of Hashem, shekisheroitzen lasois melech, that when we want to appoint a king, mishtamshim bozeh Hashem, this is the name of Hashem that's used to appoint a king. V'Hashem hu, the name of Hashem that we're referring to is kuf mem hey, these three letters. The Gemara in Sukkah speaks about this. I believe it's page 45 or 44. The Gemara there speaks about the prayer that we say on Hoshana Rabbah, where we say, Ani vohoi hoshiana. The word vohoi, vav hey vav, Rashi points out, and Tosfos points out over there in that Gemara, is one of the names of Hashem. There's a special secret name of Hashem that's derived from three psukim in Parshas Beshalach, where the Torah speaks about the Jews leaving Egypt. It says there, Vayasa malech Elohim, and then the next pasuk begins with the word Vayovoi, and the third pasuk begins with the word Vayet. And if you take a look at those three psukim, each one of them has exactly 72 letters. And the Rashi over there, and Tosfos, and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us that the way this name of Hashem is constructed is, we take the first letter from the first pasuk, the last letter from the next pasuk, and the first letter from the third pasuk, Vav, Hey, Vav. Then we take the second one from the beginning of the first pasuk, the second one from the end of the second pasuk, and the second one from the beginning of the third pasuk. That forms the second one of these names. So that these are actually 72 three-letter words. And in many editions of the Zohar HaKadosh, the ones, the three-volume sets, at the end of Chumash Shmos, usually they have a chart there, an actual chart that's 9 boxes across, 8 boxes down, so it's a total of 72 boxes, and they put inside each one of these boxes one of these three-letter names of Hashem. This is called the Shem Ayin Beis, which is a name of Hashem which consists of 72 words and a total of 216 letters, because it's 72 times 3. 72 is Chesed, 216 is Gevura. So this name of Hashem is something exceptional, something very powerful that combines Chesed and Gvura. One of those three-letter words is Kuf Mem Hei, which is a name of Hashem that's used for appointing kings. And Rabbi Nizal says, Roshe Tevois Hashkifa Mimoin Kotshecha. Those three letters make up the first letters of this pasuk, where Hashem is looking down with his direct supervision from Hashem's domain of holiness. V'zeh b'chinas mahadei malchin u'mahokei malchin. There's a pasuk in Daniel where Daniel was asked by King Nebuchadnezzar to interpret a dream that the king had, and the wording there in the pasuk is that Hashem removes kings and he appoints kings. The word for appointing, the verb that's used there is mehokem, which has those three letters in it again. The hey, the kuf, and the mem. V'zeh shenemar b'Yosef. And this is why when Yosef HaTzadik related his dream to his brothers, where he said that the sun and the moon and all stars were bowing down to him, that was one dream that he had. Then the second dream that he had was that there were stalks of grain. And he said, my stalk stood upright, and all the surrounding stalks all bowed to my stalk. So he said, Vehine koma alumasi. My stalk stood up. And the word koma, kuf mem hei, again, this name of Hashem that represents Malchus kingdom, which was foretelling that Yosef HaTzadik would rise to that position where all of his brothers would eventually recognize his authority when he was the one who Paroi appointed to be in charge of the economy of the world at the time. The Meforshim bring here that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, in the Musaf repetition of the Chazan, one of the famous paragraphs is V'choyol Ma'aminim. V'choyol Ma'aminim Shehu, everyone believes that Hashem is this, and everyone Hashem believes that Hashem does that. There's a 20-something sentences there. And one of the sentences there is V'choyol Ma'aminim Shehu, Hamamlech Malochim Veloy Hamalucha, that Hashem is the one who appoints kings and kingdom belongs to Hashem. The word Hamamlech is Bigimatria 145, Kuf Mem Hei, this name of Hashem, which Rabbi Nizal tells us here is the name that represents appointing of kings. Note the connection here that he said earlier, that in order for a person to achieve a level, to be able to emulate Hashem, to be able to differentiate between light and darkness, a person has to have a tremendous hashgach upon them, the supervision of Hashem. So here again, he's telling us that when it comes to appointing a king, which is one of the most significant things in the world to take place, it's achieved through this hashkifa mimayim, through this hashgach of Hashem, this direct supervision of Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Before we open the floor for questions, I just want to make one comment. Rabbi Nachman said about himself that what gave him atomic power as a child was the fact that he was born and raised in the house of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov had already passed away. Rabbi Nachman's grandmother was Adel, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov. She was the one who inherited that house, the house of the Baal Shem Tov. And Rabbi Nachman's mother, Fega, and his father, Simcha, lived in that house. And the students of the Baal Shem Tov, when they would want to visit his grave in Mezhebuzh, they would gather very often in that home, in that house. and they would tell over stories, things they saw from their rabbi, miracles, other things, and the great madrigas of Yirat Shamayim. And Rabbi Nachman said that as a child, hearing those stories is what gave him incredible inspiration and motivation to want to emulate tzaddikim, to want to be like them. Questions, please.
What is the practical notion here? I mean, obviously, we want to read about tzaddikim, we want to tell stories about tzaddikim, we're not on the level that Rabbi Nachman's talking about. So is he what exactly is he doing here that it's not so pushit to just tell a story?
Exactly. He's telling us to be careful. There are some people who are constantly telling over stories, and if they're told that it's not accurate, they say, oh, so what? You know, it's not a big deal to them. And Rabbi Nachman's making a point here that stories of tzaddikim are extremely important. The first 25 or 30% of our Torah, our written Torah, is stories of tzaddikim. Chumash Bereishis and half of Chumash Shmos is stories of tzaddikim. And throughout the Gemara, we have hundreds of stories of tzaddikim. And very often in the Gemara, you'll find that somebody tells something over and there's an inaccuracy and the person is reprimanded for it. It's not a joke. It's something very holy. It's on a very high level. The stories of the Torah generally have more secrets and more light in them than the halachas, than the laws of the Torah, which are very important, but not the same level of holiness in terms of secrets of Torah that are found in the stories. So it's something very significant, very powerful, to be taken seriously. And Baruch Hashem, we're blessed with a Likutei Tfilos. We have Rab Nosson Zal's prayer on each one of these chapters of Likutei Maran. I believe in this chapter, it might be the Tfilah 139, that the numbers don't correspond exactly. You can look in the index of Likutei Tfilos and see how Rab Nosson Zal prays to Hashem to be zeicha, to hear stories of tzaddikim and to be able to tell them over and to be able to draw the effectiveness, the incredible effectiveness of what stories of tzaddikim can accomplish. Besides the inaccuracies, people are in a habit of calling everyone a tzaddik. He's a tzaddik, she's a tzaddik, I'm a tzaddik. There are people that throw that thing around loosely. And they'll say things where people hearing these things feel clearly that it's not accurate, it's not true. And as a result, people lose their faith in the Torah. They lose their faith in the stories of the Torah because as a result, they say it's all allegory, you know, that kind of thing. We know, for example, the Vilna Goyim in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya, I believe it's chapter 179. It's the laws Hilchas Mo'einenu Mechashef, laws of magic and sorcery. There's a chapter like that in Shulchan Aruch which speaks about that. And in the Shulchan Aruch, one of the laws that it mentions there, it speaks about whether we're allowed to use an amulet on Shabbos. If a person's mind, a person's mentally ill or going through some type of a chas v'shalom, a terrible mental experience, whether we're allowed to use an amulet. And the Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam who says we're allowed to use it, even though we know that these things are meaningless, they have no effect. But psychosomatically, you know, as the person who's going through this mental confusion, if we don't do this, it might cause them to lose it totally. And you know, this might calm them down, knowing that we're doing this for them, even though it has no effect at all. These are the words of the Rambam. The Vilna Goyin on that statement comments, he says that the Rambam made this type of statement because he was turned off the right path by his study of philosophy. The fact that he got so involved in the study of philosophy caused him to go off the derech, that's the wording that he uses there, hitisoi, and caused him to make statements like this, where in fact the Vilna Goyin quotes maybe 10 stories throughout the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about kameyas, amulets, and the Gemara speaks about rabbis using a name of Hashem to perform miracles and everything. And the Vilna Goyin says, of course, we know that all of these stories are 100% accurate and true. As far as the deeper meanings behind them, there are deeper meanings, those that are expounded by the Sifrei Kabbalah, not those that attempt to be given by philosophers who deny the authenticity of these stories having ever taken place in reality. And this issue of accuracy, unfortunately, there are many Jews that because of the fact that there are people going around telling stories, all kinds of stories about people that aren't necessarily that accurate. It's caused people to walk away completely from Medrash. And then there's people who take it further. They deny the authenticity of the Talmud, of the Gemara, the stories in the Gemara. And further, the fact that we mentioned Shemois HaTzadikim, Rabbi Nachman spoke about saying the name of a tzaddik until recent years, and Rabbi Nachman said that when a person mentions the name of a tzaddik, when we say the term Avraham Avinu or Yitzchak Avinu, that we're actually activating the whole life story of that tzaddik, all the good deeds that they did. Today, there's a concept, you tell somebody, I want to look up some, I can Google someone's name and get a whole printout, 30 pages or 300 pages about that person. Lahavdil, Rabbi Nachman taught this a few hundred years ago, that the pasuk Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, that mentioning a tzaddik, that itself brings about a blessing. We know the famous Gemara, where Rabbi Meir told someone that if you'll be in any situation of danger, life-threatening danger, say Eloko de Meir Ano, the Hashem of Meir, answer my prayer, and you'll see that your prayer will be answered. So we see how far this goes. We want to wish everybody a wonderful week, a good chodesh. We sent out the newsletter, those of you that get the newsletter, that next Sunday night is the yard site of my rabbi, Zichron Avrocha, Rav Rosenfeld, Reb Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, 11 days in Kislev. Im Yetz Hashem, I hope we will have our shir. Our shir takes place at 4:30 in the afternoon in Israel. The Suda in honor of Rav Rosenfeld will take place at 7:30, approximately 7:30 p.m., and I hope next week we'll dedicate the shir in his memory, and I hope it'll be special, Mitzvah Shem. If you can, you'll see it in the newsletter. We may send emails. If anyone wants to participate, if anyone can join us in the actual Suda, or if anybody wants to help sponsor the Suda, or sponsor spreading the teachings of this great rabbi, any shiurim that I'm giving and many other of his students are completely to the credit of this outstanding rabbi who brought Breslov to the English-speaking public in the United States and left behind a tremendous wealth of recordings of his shiurim, many of which are on our website, and students who share the teachings that we received from him. All the best. Shavua Tov.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Sure.